Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
Time now for FMB Friday.
Yes, and it's a sector where times have been very hard, and we've been seeing some shops and restaurants pulling down their shutters, closing for good.
Yeah, one of them is a place that I've been to, located on Truss Street, Jekyll and Hyde, a very prominent cocktail bar there.
Yeah, the bar's been seeing its daily sales numbers going down over the last few months. You can understand why. And after much hard work to keep Jekyll and Hyde alive, the bar is expected to close, sadly, on June the 14th.
Well, the bar is going to be closed, the physical location. I wonder if anything might be done or if there are other ideas coming out from Jekyll and Hyde. We have on the line to help us out with that is Chua Yi Chin, owner of Jekyll and Hyde. Yi Chin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Not too bad, not too bad. Very glad that you're able to take some time to chat with us. Before we get to all the sad stuff, let's reminisce a little bit about Jekyll and Hyde. Tell us about it. How was it founded?
Yeah, so Jekyll and Hyde was actually founded about 6 years ago by a group of friends who just wanted a place to hang out. So originally was a small speakeasy in the back of the Truss Street unit, and the front was actually a nail salon. Then it eventually expanded to the whole space, and I actually bought it over about 2 years ago. Mm. So it's been a fun 2 years.
I'm sure. I didn't know it was a former nail salon. That's interesting background. So let's just talk about the most popular cocktail at Jekyll and Hyde, because, you know, you guys come up in these, you know, Asia's best bar lists and things like that. And what's often highlighted is what's on your menu. And what was one of your most famous cocktails?
Yeah, so you're right. You know, we really do try and take a local twist on classic cocktails or you know, be pretty inventive with it. So the one that's really popular and famous is our Mr. Bean. So it's actually a take on Dao Hui. So we take actual, you know, bean curd, you know, the Lao Pan Dao Hui, along with a few key ingredients. We've got vodka in there. We've got some kaya, too. And with that whole blend, it becomes this delightful concoction that that people really do enjoy. And it's a bit dangerous because people drink it and they don't taste the alcohol at all. So once they drink two or three bowls of it, we serve it in these like little Chinese bowls, then people start to get a bit, you know, inebriated.
Yeah. You're speaking to a victim of that. we're still going to stick with before COVID-19, just to get a little bit of context on how well Jekyll and Hyde was doing. The question is, how busy was Jekyll and Hyde? My answer would be so busy you have to wait a long time for a drink. But what kind of profit, what kind of profit margins were you guys taking in pre-COVID-19?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, with F&B, you know, the profit margins really are thin, even if we are doing well. So, you know, Jekyll and Hyde operates only in the evening. And, one of the things that I've been considering that we never really got to was operating the daytime, too, because you're still paying, you know, rental and fixed costs 24 hours a day. So your margins would be anywhere from about 5 to 8%, even on a monthly basis. And that's why they are, you know, quote unquote, what people say, razor thin, right? Because the moment something happens that is relatively untoward, then it kind of goes from green to red quite quickly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, F&B, it always does have to be a bit of a passion project because, like you say, these margins are thin. So that brings us to the impact of COVID-19 on Jekyll and Hyde. How much did you see sales numbers come off?
Yeah, so, you know, in January and February, it was relatively stable. We did see a bit of a hit during Chinese New Year, but towards the end of last year, it was doing really well. I think where we really started to see the impact was mid-February and March, where the numbers really started to drop off, and then April is where it took, you know, that huge hit. So we were down probably about 70% from our November-December time frame. And so, you know, the fixed cost was there, so, you know, we unfortunately had this huge drop in sales, which couldn't make up for that difference.
But then, you know, when that happened, especially in February from Chinese New Year, I'm sure you already started to sort of try and save costs, right?
Exactly. So I think one of the things that we have been doing is we were trying to negotiate with our landlord for a lower rental. But unfortunately, the negotiations didn't go quite as well as we hoped and expected. And essentially, we are paying full rental till the end of our lease in June.
I mean, how bad was that negotiating, or how hard was that negotiating period? At the end of the day, and I'll be blunt, if you don't mind, there is a desperation to keep the business because obviously Jekyll and Hyde was a hit. So when things go back to normal, I'm sure it'll do fine. There is some logic to that. But then the landlord goes, hey, you can't pay your rental and whatnot. So how emotional and how hard was this negotiation?
Oh, I mean, like, the thing with that is, like, you know, you desperately want to keep it open, right? I desperately want to keep it open. And so we had gotten to a point that we thought was somewhat equitable. But I think the last straw was essentially they wanted us a personal guarantee. And, you know, in these times with COVID and how uncertain it is, that this wasn't something I was willing to do. And I think a lot of businesses are kind of facing the same issues with their landlords right now.
So it's very interesting that this conversation has come up, Yichen, because if you look at the front page of the Business Times today, the Fair Tenancy Framework Industry Committee has submitted 15 key recommendations to the Ministry of Trade and Industry and the Ministry of Law. And they want that to feed into this new bill. And among that, they've talked about wanting a Fair Tenancy Commission to be set up. Now, when we hear stories like yours, it seems to give some mileage to this idea. What do you think of it?
Totally support that. And in fact, you talked to a couple of the people on that commission and all that, and who have been submitting that. You know, I think in general, all of us tenants, we've all banded together, right? I think you guys have heard of like the Safe F&B SG group, which is basically a group of F&B owners. And I think we're all just trying to figure out how to survive together. Everyone's been supporting each other. But yeah, one of the key issues is, I mean, the constant landlord issue where, you know, basically, landlords are pushing tenants into a corner and either trying to squeeze them off as much money as possible or just, you know, being just completely unfair to them or with them.
Yeah. Are you surprised by this? Because, I mean, one of my questions was going to be, the government has now, so we're coming into a fourth budget package that will be unveiled next week. And the measures to protect the various industries that keep Singapore running have been pretty comprehensive. But this issue about tenants and rental has come up again and again. Has it surprised you that it has come to this?
I guess the government probably is trying to do its best, right, to try and support all businesses. But I mean, with us as, you know, F&B owners and tenants and all that, we are fortunately, unfortunately, the smaller fry, right? And I guess maybe it is a bit hard to try and help everyone. But I think the issue here is that you're probably going to end up losing a fair number of F&B businesses throughout Singapore, which would then be interesting as to what happens when we can all go back to our normal lives, right?
Yeah.
Whether there will be those restaurants or bars that you actually enjoy and like that are still around, or whether you'll have to find a new place to go to.
Yeah, delivery services as well can only do so much. And even though Jekyll and Hyde is doing that, how is that turning out for you guys?
Yeah, so our bottled cocktail sales have been okay. I mean, we're still down about 60% from our current revenue. And, you know, we're trying to do our best to make sure that we stay afloat. I mean, we're still trying to pay our staff as much as possible. And again, still like using our rental deposit, thankfully, to cover the remaining of rental so that we don't go into arrears of the landlord. So that's one nice thing that they have done, that we've been allowed to use our remaining deposit to fully cover the rental. But, you know, we're actually trying to work on some other business ideas. I think we had initially planned to completely shut down. But there was a news article that had come out about our closure, and we've gotten some nice messages as well as people have reached out to try and help. So we're trying to explore a couple options where we would either, you know, sublease from someone and kind of work with them, or find a space where a bit more temporary first until we find something more permanent. And another thing that's actually come out that's been good is we're planning on working with a big online e-retailer called Celebration to launch a bottled cocktail line with them. So I think we're just trying to find different ways to stay afloat and, I guess, pivot from the traditional bar model so that we stay open and obviously keep our employees in with jobs too.
Well, I get the impression you're keeping an open mind, and that's great to hear about some really exciting possibilities. I hope that you're going to stay in touch with us and update us when and if that happens. Let's just talk for a moment, though, about your workers, because obviously jobs has become a big issue here in Singapore amidst this circuit breaker. What'll happen to your employees?
Yeah, so one of our employees, I think he actually wants to try a new line of work. He's been F&B for quite a while. So I think he's actually going to try out being a Grab driver for a while. And then a couple of our other employees, if we are able to, you know, do this bottle cocktail line from a retail perspective or try and find another place to sublease, hopefully we can keep them on for the next few months and see how the situation continues to change and evolve. I mean, obviously my concern is that, you know, Circuit Breaker either extends or there's a second wave, and then, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen, obviously. So we're trying to roll up the punches and go up the flow there.
Okay, I have a question for you, which sounds slightly tongue-in-cheek, but it's got a really serious angle to it.
Sure,
okay,
sure.
So we were having a bit of a laugh last week. We were doing this Asia's Best 50 Bars list. And Elliot asked the question, what's the point? But actually, now I'm thinking, if you're on a list like that and then you hit hard times, it's actually quite useful, especially if you want to launch your own line of products or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't make it on that list, but yeah, no, I mean, I think in terms of the general industry and all that, I think, yes, being on those lists definitely helped, right? Because I think what you're trying to look at is the long-term viability of the businesses. But having said that, I mean, there are bars and restaurants that are award-winning, whether they are in Singapore or whether they are in New York or around the world, that are shutting down. I mean, I was reading this article about this 90-year-old bar in Italy that, you know, created the Bellini is actually shutting down and not reopening, right? Because they've just been like so severely impacted. So as much as those awards are super helpful, I think that the sad thing you're going to see is that some of these award-winning bars or restaurants are going to shut permanently. I mean, it's the same thing with the U.S., right? 11 Madison isn't sure if they're going to open their doors ever again. They're the number one restaurant in the world, right?
Wow, so, yeah.
Yeah, that one is another sad story. But apart from what Jekyll and Hyde's going through, I understand you also have started this thing called bars.sg. Could you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. So I think right at the beginning of COVID in the U.S., especially when they shut down just a little earlier than us, they had this Rally for Restaurants program where they basically were trying to sell gift cards. And when I was looking around in Singapore, there wasn't really a website that was doing that. So I wanted, or if they were doing it, there was a huge margin or commission that was being charged. So I just wanted to structure it in such a way where, you know, we could do gift cards for ourselves, and then decided that, hey, you know, we might as well just share this with the industry too, right? Or with people and see how we can help them. So, you know, that's what we've done. It's been moderately successful because I think there also have been some other platforms that have done a great job with getting on. There's a company called Delegate that does gift cards now, and I think they charge a minimal fee also to help F&B businesses or businesses in general through this hard time. And I think there's this other website called Chope and Save that actually consolidates that so that people can just support all these businesses.
Yeah, it's very useful. So let's talk about the future. You've obviously pointed out a few possibilities, and it's great to hear that people have reached out to you with words of encouragement. What have been your personal learning points from this experience?
One, just never ever sign a personal guarantee.
Thank you for that.
I mean, just life lesson, just anyone on air, don't ever do that. But no, I think, you know, life lessons there, it's never ever really giving up. I think if you pivot, if you're creative, you always can find ways to survive, right? I think also along with that, it's just being able to make sure you take care of your employees first and work with them and they'll work to take care of you too at the same time.
And so, will we see another Jekyll and Hyde bar in the future reopening?
You know, that's hard to say, but I think we're looking at a couple spots right now, one along kind of the whole Club Street area, and then another one potentially around Raffles Place, around the Padang. And I think we're just trying to see if we can work with a couple of these colleagues or I guess tenants to be able to subsist together.
I've been speaking with Chua Yi Chin, owner of Jekyll and Hyde. Yi Chin, certainly sounds like you've been really going through a very, very tough time, very challenging time.
Yeah, it's been tough, but I think, you know, again, with the support of our customers as well as the friends and family, it's just a great learning experience. So hopefully, you know, come out the stronger for it.
How are you staying positive, though? Just to quickly wrap up.
I see run and work out every day. So I think I've actually been the fittest I've ever been. I run probably like 5 or 6K a day and then do weights. And so I de-stress by working out. And then obviously friends and family have been really supportive. So they provide those words of encouragement, right? So those relationships are definitely super important. And our customers really, really have been awesome. Like whenever we send out the orders for the next week, they're like, hey, thank you so much for the menu. We'll send this to our friends. And even if we have some issues about deliveries and all that, they're all super supportive. Where they're like, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. Like, understand that it's really tough time. So it's really, I think, heartwarming to be able to see that. And I've actually become quite good friends with some of our customers where we text about, obviously, the bar, but other things too.
Well, hopefully it's not the end yet. And if you want to find out more or how you could be a part of that delivery service and enjoy some cocktails from Jekyll and Hyde amidst this circuit breaker, you could search them up on Instagram. Just search jekyllandhyde.sg and hopefully we'll hear some encouraging announcements over there soon enough. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, Chua Yi Chin, who is owner of Jekyll and Hyde. Yi Chin, you take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thanks so much, Alamanish. Have a good day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.